You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The Trump crackdown on undocumented immigrants, refugees, and asylum seekers has led to desperate measures by some. One prominent case, an Albanian immigrant under threat of deportation for overstaying his visa. Ded Roxburgh and his wife, Florida, have lived inside a Detroit church since the start of this year. He cares for his wife, who struggles with multiple sclerosis. If he is deported, Flora says her life is finished. His supporters rallied outside the federal courthouse in downtown Detroit last week as a court hearing happened to consider his plea to stay. Religion and refugees have a long history in this country, but Stephanie Nowen thinks one group might be breaking from that tradition. Stephanie is an associate professor of sociology at Michigan State University. Welcome to Stateside.
Thank you for having me, Cynthia.
Your piece in The Conversation shows us clearly that many religious communities in this country have a very long history of supporting refugees and migrants who come to our country. Talk to us more about this idea of welcoming the stranger and how central it is to so many religions.
Well, certainly it's a foundational idea in what we call the Abrahamic faith. So Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. It's really written into the fabric of these religions. These are religions that were born in the desert, where if you didn't welcome people into the city gates at night, they would die. So this idea of bringing people in to provide protection really is at the foundation of Christianity, Islam, and Judaism.
And when in this country did we first see a very noticeable effort by faith communities to welcome people who were seeking refuge from oppression and violence?
Well, we saw this even before World War II. So the group that people are now hearing a lot about, HIAS, used to be the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society. They were actually formed in the 1880s, I believe it was, just to provide protection for Jewish refugees who needed to come to the U.S. And then we saw during the Holocaust and post-World War II displacement, a lot of other faith groups coming together, forming these national and international organizations that lobbied the U.S. government to support refugees coming to the U.S. And they were really critical, I think, in pushing the U.S. to contribute to the conversations happening within the United Nations, which culminated in the Geneva Convention that was passed shortly after World War II ended.
So the faith communities really helped reshape U.S. foreign policy when it came to refugees and immigrants.
Absolutely. And they weren't just helping refugees who were able to make it to the U.S. They were really pushing foreign policy to bring those refugees here.
And then the 1980s brought many asylum seekers from Central America. So who really stepped up to advocate for these migrants? Who pushed back against Washington?
Well, it was a number of Catholic and also mainline Protestant churches that came together. They were doing exactly what this church in Detroit is doing now. They were literally providing sanctuary for migrants who were under threat of deportation, being sent back to Central America, where there was a great deal of violence, people that were being targeted because of the labor organizing and human rights organizing that they were doing in their home countries. And a number of them came together to sue the U.S. government to provide asylum. Mostly at the time, it was large numbers of Salvadoran migrants.
So take us to now. What are the important ways in 2018 that faith-based groups, nonprofits, support refugees today? And do they extend help to everyone, no matter their religion or no religion?
Well, it's really a central part of what these faith communities do is that they do it because of their religious beliefs, not because of the religious beliefs of the refugees or asylum seekers. So, you know, Catholic Charities has the saying, we help people not because they are Catholic, but because we are. And HIAS, which started out really to protect primarily Jewish refugees, they also have a saying within their organization, we used to protect refugees because they were Jewish. Now we do it because we are Jewish. Mm. So it's something that motivates the people who do this work, but it motivates them because of their own religious beliefs. And they provide these protections and these services, not just to refugees, but to lots of other people. Many of the services that faith communities provide also help U.S.-born citizens as well as immigrants and refugees. So what they're doing now is they're providing these services, these assistance, this advocacy for people that are here. They're helping them to integrate by providing job training, by providing translation services. They do lots of different social services kinds of programs in collaboration with the federal government. So we have a refugee resettlement system that really is a public-private partnership. At the national level, big organizations work with the federal government to determine how many refugees can come to the U.S. They commit to saying, you know, we can resettle X number of refugees in the coming year. And then once those refugees get to the U.S., those local affiliates to these national faith-based organizations really do the work of resettling and integrating refugees. So the federal government makes these decisions, but they rely heavily upon faith-based organizations to really work in collaboration to protect refugees and provide them a good start when they first come to the U.S.
But Stephanie, your research has found signs that the moral framework supporting this is giving way in some quarters to support for what?
Well, you know, I can't say for certain that this is a change because we don't have a lot of attitudinal data that is retrospective, like that was, you know, collected at past points. But I suspect there's some shifts, certainly since post-World War II, when faith communities, by and large, were very welcoming to refugees and to other immigrants. Pew Research recently has found that the majority of white mainline Protestants and white evangelical Christians think that we do not have a responsibility to bring in refugees into this country. And a majority of white Christians also support things like building a border wall along the U.S.-Mexico border. So that certainly is a departure from what we have seen institutionally faith communities doing. But there's always been a disconnect between what pastors and church leaders want to do and sometimes what their congregations want to do. And even in faith communities where maybe the individual congregation members were not that supportive of immigrants, their leadership was, and they would invoke religious doctrine in support of that openness to immigrants and refugees. What we saw in the last year or two was that there were some evangelical leaders who actually supported more closed borders. A group of them actually wrote a letter in support of a border wall, which is a huge departure from what we see from Christian leaders in the past.
You do say in your piece that what's unusual is some conservative Christian groups have started lobbying in favor of strengthened immigration enforcement. So why is this breaking from the past, do you think?
There probably are some political realignments between religious identity and conservative versus liberal ideology. It's a very upending time, and it's hard to say where people are going to, you know, where policies are going to fall and where people of different religious faiths are going to fall. I don't have an easy answer for why this is happening, and this is actually something I'm working on with local faith coalitions. There's a group in mid-Michigan called All Faith Alliance for Refugees. And I'm going to be having a conversation with them actually very soon about what they can do as faith leaders to address these attitudes in their individual churches and their individual congregations. I think it's worth people of faith, and especially Christians and especially white Christians, to have a conversation about this and to really think deeply about what their faith calls them to do and the kinds of policies that some of their leadership are actually supporting.
What will you watch for, Stephanie, as the immigration debate continues in this country, a very hyper-political, very emotional debate, but particularly among faith communities? What are you going to watch for?
You know, so I am also myself a person of faith, and I am going to be looking for the places in which compassion wins. I think it's a central tenet to my understanding of Christianity, and that's what I think is sometimes lacking in the debates we have. You know, government has to do what's practical. But people of faith, you know, they have a different calling. And it's one thing, you know, national borders need to be protected, but it will be interesting to see where people of faith come down on that and what they see their own personal responsibilities are to welcoming the stranger. I'll be looking to see what happens with those kinds of conversations.
Stephanie Nowen, Associate Professor of Sociology at Michigan State University, where she co-directs the Center for Gender in Global Context. Thank you so much for speaking with us, Stephanie.
Thank you so much for having me.